Bigger,
big
please.
Wheel keep on turning,
turning.
Proud Mary keep on burning,
burning.
Rolling, rolling,
rolling,
rolling,
rolling on the
guys,
river.
We are rolling right now. Everybody's on ecstasy. This is a rolling episode.
It's Molly. Molly's healthier.
Is it? Oh, I thought.
Yeah, it's more natural. It's within the earth.
Oh, the okay. Earth.
Yeah.
E-A-R-F-F.
E-A-R-H-T.
H-T.
Did you see Oregon just like decriminalized?
Oh, yeah. It's insane.
Psychedelic drugs.
I thought it was a joke. I thought it was like this little meme that people were like, it's like.
Even cocaine.
It's like heroin. I think it's heroin too, right? Heroin. Yeah. Heroin,
oh,
cocaine.
Oh, God.
All these drugs.
Let's take a road
Finally,
trip.
Some good in this world.
Just, it's like, I get why they did that, but I don't get why they did that. Because I get, like, they did that because like you were saying the other day, like, if people want to do it, just. They let it's right. It's their choice. You let them do it if they want to do it. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, if these people are doing it all the time, every day, that's going to be a serious issue. Like where these people are going to be constantly.
Some stuff is definitely addictive. It's not probably the best thing for you, but I mean,
like
people are probably going to do it regardless.
Yeah.
It's like now you just don't got to worry about it.
Isn't like doing too much cocaine or doing too much heroin much, much worse than doing too much alcohol though? Because alcohol is also bad for you, and you get to do as much as you want. You can get it wherever you want, but
I just my thought is like everybody picks their poison, whatever it is. Somebody's doing some bad shit. You could eat a bunch of McDonald's, and that's, you know, just as bad as doing
just as bad as cocaine. McDonald's as bad as cocaine.
I mean,
no, he's
you
saying
got,
people are going to
disease.
Fish for bad things. To
oh yeah,
do.
Of
right.
course, yeah.
That's just in our blood.
Speaking of people buying shit that harms your body, we have new merch.
Right.
That harms your body.
Very harmful merch.
It'll make you too good looking.
Yeah. This is actually, I think, our favorite merch that we put out.
Yeah, yeah. I'm really excited about this
it's
one.
It's very slick, very clean, very black, very titled.
And I will say the material of these hoodies is unreal. It is a step above.
Yes, it is. And it fits very well. It's not like the stretchy shit like we used to have. It actually fits. It's like just a better built.
It's just quality, baby.
Yeah, exactly.
We're really excited to launch it for you guys. It's going to be coming out on Tuesday. You can go to ZaneAndHeathUnfiltered.com
yes,
to purchase
sir.
It.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
It looks so good.
Thank you, man. Where's yours?
I'm hot.
I mean, I'm hot too, but baby, you got to rock when it's out. Oh, I thought one of you were going to wear it today.
We're like, well, our outfits are kind of cute. We didn't want to ruin it.
Let's say Kenny's wearing a receipt.
He brought the receipts to
I
this
the
episode.
Receipts, yes.
Every time I see your shirt, Kenny, or like it just reminds, like, or it makes me think that you still have like the tag on it. You know, like when you leave a sticker on your
yes.
shirt, it's like a giant sticker of the information of your shirt.
What if that's like the next thing in fashion? Is people just like want people to know how much they paid for their like shirt, so they just go around stapling receipts to their clothes?
I mean, it's kind
see
of the
that.
Same as like leaving the tag yeah. on it, but then you got to like look for the price.
That was a huge trend. Remember in
high school
you would keep the sticker on the
yeah.
hat.
I hated that.
And they would let the tags like hang out of their shirt. It was like a cool thing to do. And I
yeah.
never understood why.
I think I heard that it started from people that would wear it and they would leave the tag on it so then they could
return
it. And then it became like kind of like a trend.
But it was in high school.
The fitted caps with the sticker underneath
yeah.
here.
That's what I mean.
And you
yeah.
can tell when shirts have been worn for a while. Because you remember when you go to the store, you try something on and it's just like.
People would bring it back smelling like cigarettes.
Yeah, and you
at
wouldn't,
PacSun.
And they wouldn't Ooh. Wash it. They wouldn't wash it either, which is like really fucking gross.
Yeah,
that was always one of the most uncomfortable things when we got returns at my old retail job. We would have to like go to the back and like smell it.
Oh, oh really?
Smell test?
We did. Yeah.
Did you do the pits, the bottom, the neck?
I wouldn't. It wasn't so targeted.
Oh, okay.
We would just try to like get a little. If it was like a
you kind of like.
Yeah, get a little
waft it towards you.
We just was spray some of your Gucci perfume and then
well, because
if
you smell an essence of someone, it might give you, you know, enough like to
yeah.
be like, you know, we can't take this, unfortunately.
Yeah, I was yesterday I was working out and I was working out in what do you call it at Scott's gym, and the song that used to come on at PacSun all the time because Heath and I used to work at PacSun.
Which one was
you know
it?
The whole playlist? I actually
it is so like SoCal surf vibes.
I Shazammed it, but I'm not gonna pull up the song. But like the song was playing, and at the moment I was folding my sweaty shirt that I just took off,
oh,
and it literally was this wave that it hit me, and it went and went right back to PacSun, just folding
Weird.
Clothes. for Ooh. Their on their shelves, and it was like the craziest feeling.
It's so weird having those like flashback memories. Yeah, where, like, you have it so vividly, like something that you haven't thought about in so long, mm-hmm. or even like a smell can bring you back somewhere.
Yeah, when you wore your cologne the other day, I smelled it. Yeah, you gave me the dirtiest look.
You were like,
not that it smelled bad, but it triggered a memory. And then when you said it was Prada, I was like, yep, used to work there. We go in every day and
our brains are wild, huh? Mm-hmm.
Remember our theme song?
We have a theme song?
Yeah, what's the theme song?
Oh, we haven't done the intro. Oh. Right. All right, let's do it. It's coffee time, baby.
Shit. Well, welcome back to Zane and Heath Unfiltered. I'm your host, Zane.
And I am Heath.
And then we got Kenny MRI here on the side.
How do you spell that?
Kenny MRI.
So what's going on? How was your week? I know you did a music video yesterday. Can yeah. we talk about that?
Yeah, it was for a very high-end artist.
Woo!
Yeah. Yeah. You guys aren't going to believe who it was.
Zane's just booking all these music video roles.
Yeah.
It rhymes with Body Nair.
I got nothing.
No? Oh, Scotty. Scott, sorry.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
It does rhyme with body.
Yeah,
fire or whatever.
He has his last song coming out of his album, and he has me as the main guy in the.
He just read all your TikTok comments that say main character energy. So he's like, I need him. We gotta have him.
Main character energy.
That's good.
Zane is definitely the main.
So
character.
I was like, I mean, you know why I want you in it, right? I was like, why? He's like, just trying to get views. I'm like, baby, it doesn't work anymore. Baby, it doesn't even work for me anymore.
So, that's funny.
When's it coming out?
It comes out, I think, next week. I thought it was supposed to come out on my birthday.
That's so fast.
Because they had like in the music video, they had like a birthday cake with said Zane on it. So in my head, I was like, oh, they're probably releasing it on my birthday. And it was like a funny thing Scott wanted to do with me like uh-huh. in the video. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't come out until like the 20th, I think, or 21st. I don't know. It's
oh,
I don't want to say a day.
A few
but...
days. Cool.
Are you excited?
Yeah, I'm excited. I feel like that was the first thing I've done where it was just like all me.
That was his first time getting a birthday cake in the last 10 years.
I love birthdays.
This is the first time that people just showed up for my birthday, you know, so it was like really cool. With cameras all over the place.
It's all about you.
And it was like, I gotta act a lot, and I'm not good at acting, so we'll just see how.
Zane keeps saying, it's just not my thing, but he keeps booking them. It's crazy.
I'm right, it's like you and dancing.
Yeah, just keep booking shit. I'm right, you get it.
So stupid.
What else did I do this week? I got my teeth whitened.
They do look
they
good,
look
actually.
Really good.
That was a long silence. I thought I was going to get nothing
well,
out of
that. Well,
when
you smiled, your teeth barely showed for some reason.
Oh, and I drank coffee this morning, so it's probably brown right now. But I got my teeth whitened.
Well, One cup of coffee.
You're not supposed to drink like...
You're supposed to use a straw like Keith.
Yeah, but I don't want to do that. I just want to... do I have to sip the whole time as my teeth are whitened for 6 months and then I...
That's what Jay Boyce does.
Really?
Mm-hmm. That's why his teeth are so white. He always uses a
straw. He's drinking from a straw every single day.
So his teeth are actually not white? They're yellow?
Scott's teeth are crazy white.
Yeah, Scott has really
But
nice
I think
teeth.
Scott's teeth are just white. I don't think he has
them
white.
Yeah, it's also genetics, I feel like.
Yeah. It's crazy how we only have two chances, though, for teeth. It's like your baby teeth.
Oh, yeah.
And then that's it. And then your actual teeth. And you get no more chances.
I know. Could you imagine if we had like four pairs of teeth, depending on, we had like baby teeth, we have like teenage teeth.
And you learn each time like how to make them better, how to make them grow in better.
Yeah. If we had that many chances, our teeth would be fucking nice because we'd know exactly what to do and what not to do.
Like, I feel like I look at teenagers now and I'm like, how are their teeth so perfect at 13 years old? Like, why did I feel like everybody we went to school with in middle school and high school, we all had braces, we all had messed up teeth, but kids now have perfect teeth. I don't
know.
Are
braces getting cheaper? I wonder if they're just like,
I don't know if it's
like
braces. I think it's Invisalign and like different new system things that didn't exist when we
but they're still expensive though.
They're so expensive.
And I think our parents, like, because a lot of like our, not, I'm not saying my parents, but a lot of like adults, these like older adults, they don't have like the best teeth. And it's because braces weren't like popular back then. They just
my parents,
My teeth were in like the good enough stage.
Oh, yeah, you didn't have braces.
They weren't like bad enough to get braces, but they were just like, I could have used them, I would have liked them, but it was just like, they're all right.
Now everybody gets their teeth like perfected by the age of like 13, 14. Like, yeah, they look so good. It's crazy.
You know, I had to wear like that mask most of my, like, a lot of, like, for a lot of years. Like, you
oh,
know,
the headgear?
Like,
the
yeah, you know, in like, yeah, in like those like Nickelodeon shows, I'll be that nerdy kid, yeah, with like a whole, I wore that whole mask. Like, I had to wear it to bed when I woke up, and I always had to change like the rubber bands at like
in school. Oh, I had rubber when bands was this? Too.
I had to wear it to school for like only a little bit, not like the whole time, just a little bit. And because it was just something I had to just keep on my face at all times. I'd have
that's
to,
that's crazy.
Yeah, I only took it off
like
the shower.
Like a saw contraption.
Like, the girl, yeah, no, the girl from Finding Nemo, like the
Darla.
It
Darla
felt like that. And then after that, I had to get like a retainer in my like up here.
Oh, was it an expander? My sister got an expander at the roof of her mouth, and every night we had to go in with a tool and crank it to expand her mouth in order for her to get braces.
Oh my god, baby, beauty is pain.
I don't remember having to do that. I remember they had to tighten it because it would loosen. It was just a thing that sat on the top of my roof of my mouth, and that's it.
Isn't that crazy to think about all the like tools we had to use?
I know my mom, like, whenever back in her day, when they gave fillings, they didn't have an option, I don't think, or it was like just insanely expensive to do like white fillings.
Uh-huh.
So like, yes, a lot of older people
they're
have like
that
silver.
Gold or silver.
Yes.
Yeah, they have like totally like gray silver in their mouth. So it's just like, I think it's probably just things getting more advanced, I guess, more accessible.
Remember George Washington's wood teeth?
Wooden teeth, yeah.
Did he have wood teeth?
Is this
conspiracy?
Still? isn't it crazy? Like old, like pictures of people are like mostly drawings. Like, there's no picture of George Washington. It's just all
like
drawings,
paintings.
Yeah, you know how people can Facetune now. What if people just
painted you a little bit better?
A little bit better or differently? They look nothing like what they look like on the paintings.
Were you guys like artistic at all? Like, do you have to take art classes in school or anything? I avoided them at all costs because it was terrible.
I went to art school outside of like regular school.
Oh,
she is pretty
really
good.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm really. I have an aunt who's an artist. That's where I think I get it from. But then I saw my parents draw, and I was like, wait, they can draw too? Like, they can draw like simple things, but I remember them always being good. And I was so into art when I literally thought I was gonna be an artist.
This is why you always want to play Telestrations. You know you're the best artist.
Yeah, we should play like another drawing game.
I
this
love
is fun.
Is that something you're just really good at back in
middle school? Every few years, starting at age 5, I have a picture of me. I have a picture drawing of Jesus that I made. It's like 5 through, I think, 16 or 17, I have
and
pictures
like, better
of my Jesus, like, progression. Yeah.
That's cool, actually. It's
you don't fuck with me way back when, but how about now?
Because I'm a friend.
Can't draw for
shit. Was always pretty good at drawing, but I could never, like, just sit down, not looking at anything, and just draw something.
No.
But I'm really good at looking at something and then putting it, like, just with, like, dimensions and sizing.
Right.
I'm good at, like, duplicating something.
Like, I can barely trace. I remember when I was a kid, I used to trace Pokemon.
I used to draw Pokemon all the time.
I would trace them, and then I would pretend like I like drew it. Like, I like just to myself. I wouldn't lie or anything, but I would just like, I would look at it and be like, this is really good. I did a really good job on this. I traced the entire thing.
Why do I have this memory of me tracing something, and when someone was walking by or someone was about to walk up to me, I'd pull the paper out and just go and just finish and just be like, yeah, I'm just bored.
Oh, you know, just a doodle. It's good, you
but
think?
You can clearly see that you like think? The lines don't like meet because you moved the paper accidentally. It's just you could tell that it was traced, but you fucked up.
Oh god!
I remember it was my last project for like an English class or something, Ms. Duarte, I think, and I had to do this drawing where it was like
the
all dots.
I sat next to you. I remember it was really good.
I don't know what made me think to do that, but like I just it was like this 5x6 inch drawing that I did of like the city of the Great Gatsby, or it was like in Great Gatsby, right?
It was some sort of like street with like buildings and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I just like, I shaded everything in ink dots, and I spent
oh,
like
so
3.5 days
you were doing
it
in pen?
Mm-hmm. In pen, yeah.
Permanent.
Very yeah.
risky.
Bold move.
Ballsy.
I got a B+ on it.
Okay.
Oh, good.
I don't know what it was for. It wasn't for a specific thing, I don't think. But it was like every year, once a year, there would be like some ocean drawing mandatory thing. And everybody had to draw some ocean scene. And no. I remember cheating every single time and still couldn't win. It was like some competition. I'd have like my brother help me or my dad.
Oh,
nobody remembers
no.
this.
That's
no.
funny.
We used to have to make ecosystems. Like, you would take a shoebox and you would go to like Michael's
yes.
or Joanne's, and you would get like the fake moss and you would make your own ecosystem.
My dad built some cool ones for me.
Your dad.
See, my brain wouldn't let me do shit like that. I would just go to the easiest thing, like put the penny in vinegar, penny in water, oh, yeah. and soda, and just be like, the whole project revolved around that shit. Just like, which penny dissolves the quickest in what liquid?
My hypothesis is...
In elementary school, they had... every year they had a fifth graders competition where the fifth graders were able to draw what they want the yearbook cover to be, and they would pick somebody to be the yearbook cover, and I never won because there was a kid who was always a lot better than me. He used to be my neighbor, and he won our year, and I was so pissed, but I'm in the yearbook as like runner up.
Oh. they put you on the back cover.
The back cover of the yearbook. I'm surprised that yearbooks don't do that. Like, ooh, who's going to be the cover of the yearbook this year?
They don't
year?
Want competition.
Kind of like a Vogue cover.
Yeah, everybody's a winner, Zane.
Oh, come on. The entire, I feel like all of high school was a fucking competition. You don't remember those
no,
pages?
No, we're saying nowadays. Not anymore. We're saying nowadays everybody's a winner.
Oh, got it, got
my
it.
My mom, she works at different elementary schools. She said on the playground, they're not allowed to keep score for anything. I'm like, what?
Uh-huh. Yeah, they're like, there has to be some... type of competition to make kids want to work harder.
That's the thing, yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. Weird. It's like competition isn't always a bad thing.
Yeah,
like
yeah, it's just, it makes yeah. you want to do better and be right. better. Like if everybody's yeah. equal and nobody can like
yeah.
succeed that's how, or stand out, yeah. then what's the motivation?
That's yeah. how you have the best athletes in the world. They're all
right.
part of competitions all their life. And it's yeah. Of course, again, it's not a bad thing. That's how these athletes
and it's not for everybody,
biggest.
So don't get involved. Don't yeah, play exactly. kickball.
Yeah, yeah, it's really that simple. Hmm.
Everybody's a winner.
Participation
yeah.
award.
Yeah.
Everybody gets the green ribbon.
You know how many participation awards I got because I wasn't good enough to get like MVP?
And my mom would yeah. hang all of them up.
I remember being younger. My brother played football and like I tried to play football too. I living in his shoe steps.
Living in his shoe steps.
What's the saying?
Living in his shadow.
What? Yeah, following in his footsteps.
That's
yeah,
something I feel like I'd frame that. Living in his shoe steps.
They say it don't step. Be like it is, but it do. But yeah, so he would come home. He'd have like the big ass MVP trophy quarterback, and I would get the little green ribbon, and my mom would try to act like it was just as good. But
aww.
Hey, it's her job to like pretend it's that good,
right?
You know, make you feel better.
No, I my mom would be like, "We'll try harder, and you'll get a bigger one."
I feel like I would like that as a kid. I would hate it at the moment, but I like later on in life, I'd appreciate that my parents were
right.
Like that
yeah,
because mm-hmm.
don't be a little bitch.
Yeah, pretty much.
Suck it up.
Suck it up.
Suck it up.
Do better.
Suck it.
How was your week, Mariah?
I've been waiting all day for this. It was good. I had some family in town, which is always nice.
I love your family. I love your. Thank I love you. Your mom.
Your mom's They're my all favorite. Right. They're okay. We were at the airport, and there was this car that's pulled up to the curb, and it was a family. So it was a husband and wife, and their three little kids, mm-hmm. and they had a baby in the stroller, was maybe like 5 months old, under a year old, and then like 2 3-year olds. So they're getting the kids in the car. The husband gets in the car. The wife like packs up the stroller, and it was one of those expensive strollers. So like you have to fold it one way, fold it the other way, and throws it in the trunk. As soon as she throws it in the trunk, she hears screaming, wailing.
And it's funny leading up to that story, you're saying that your parents are just watching these two, just like remembering when you guys were little.
Right. That's why we were staring at them, because my parents were like, I just remember when you guys were this little, like, I just really respect them for traveling with kids this young. Like they're doing so well. Accidents happen. And that's what happened. They heard crying. She had packed the baby in the stroller.
Folded it in half twice.
Threw it in the trunk.
Oh my God.
Threw it in the trunk, and they were mortified. You could tell they were mortified. They pulled it out, and now they have to flip it back over to get it out. Unfold it twice to get it out. The stroller's upside down. They open it up and they're like, oh my God. And the baby's crying. I guess she probably thought that the husband put all the kids in the car, but he only put the two in. So she just packed it up.
Oh. Baby, that's our generation just forgetting you have another kid.
But that's the thing. I said, thank God it was us watching this happen. because I feel like anybody else would have freaked out, if like judgmental.
Yeah, if that was like recorded and put on the internet,
oh, forget it.
Half the people would be laughing.
They'd be dragged. Yeah.
And other half would be like, somebody needs to call support. Child support on these people. And
they don't deserve their child. Yeah.
Yeah, and they would actually go far enough to get their information and try to report them. Because there was another video just like that of a lady. She opened her car door and the stroller was behind her and it started rolling to the street. It happens, but I remember seeing half the comments. It happens, but it's awful.
Yeah.
But it does happen. And it's like truly a mistake, I'm sure.
Right.
But,
there's a video of a baby. They're like, they're on a picnic on top of a hill. And this baby, again, like under 1 year old, like it probably like 7 months old, starts tumbling down the hill. You've never seen this video?
No.
And they were, and the parents were cracking up. It's funny. Like kids are more like okay than you think. Like, yes, be careful with kids. Don't shake them around.
Their bones are like rubber.
Right. Like you do have to be careful, like with their heads especially. That's what like gets you nervous. But like things like that literally happen all the time. Like that's like trial and error of being a parent, and it's okay. And now they'll never forget to double check.
People watching shit like that are like younger, don't have kids yet. And then once they have kids, it's going to happen to them. And they're going to be like, whoa, what?
Yeah.
Like,
accidents happen and it's okay. You move on.
The girl who drove her car through that gas station.
And
then got pissed at everybody else.
But that would be me though. If I drove through a gas station and everybody's recording, I'd be doing the
same. Zane would be like, well, then who puts a gas station here?
Right on the corner of the street. Hey, that's not right there. You're recording this. I would just be yelling at everybody like it's their fault, not mine, that I just ran through a gas station.
Those people just black out.
The one lady who like blacks out and doesn't like know how to like handle herself, where she's blocked in the parking spot. She like hit the guy's car.
She's panicking, trying to get out.
And she's just back and forth, just ran. Like
you freak
doesn't
out.
Doesn't know, and she's just doing everything she can to get out of the situation. Just panicking, like trying to jump curbs and like
just not
get
realizing
away.
That you're. She's still fucked. You're still fucked when you, whether you get away or not. But I think in the moment with all those people watching her,
you're embarrassed.
Half embarrassed, half like panicking that someone's gonna hurt you for doing this.
Right.
It's like fight or flight, but like when you're blocked in and you can't flight, you also have to fight.
Right.
So it's like,
if I was in that situation, I would probably do everything I can to get out of there, but I would not run away, or I would not drive off. I would just go to the other side, park there, and then call the cops. I just to get away from like that whole scene. That's so embarrassing.
Oh my god.
Shit.
Can you please tell your nail salon story about with your mom?
Two in a row. Sue me.
Because it's just as good. It's just as good.
So we're getting our nails done. My mom's getting a pedicure. I'm getting a manicure. So we're across the room from each other. And this really pretty employee walks into the supply closet and she comes out in this like gorgeous dress, like really, really pretty dress.
Just out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere, changes into this dress and walks out like this. And it's like me, my mom, and one other person in this whole salon. And she walks out and my mom just has to make friends with everybody, opens her mouth and she goes, "That looks amazing on you. Like that looks beautiful, like really beautiful." She looks at my mom. Should I do the accent?
It's going to be weird if you avoid it and don't do it.
Right.
Just do it.
She looks at my mom and she goes, $28. And my mom's like, oh, no, 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 no. And obviously you have money. You're paying for your nail. Yeah. Like, you can't be like, I don't have money. Because normally that's what you do. Oh, no, I don't have money. Like if people are trying to sell you stuff.
Yeah.
$28 to my mom. And she's like, no, no, no. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay.
I don't want to buy it. I just said it was nice.
Right. And then she comes over because she knows I'm the daughter. She comes over to me and she goes, $28. She said she wants you. And she's like, telling me that like my mom wants to buy the dress. And my mom's like, no, 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 no. And like this girl comes in. It was just so hectic. This girl comes in to get her nails done. She has an appointment and they're pointing at the dress and they're like yelling at her about the dress. And she's like, where do I sit? And she goes, no, 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 $28. And she's like, I didn't even get my nails done yet. And my mom was like, they're trying to sell you the dress. They're trying to sell you this dress. So my mom goes, all right, what size is it? They go into the supply closet. They come back out with 10 dresses. 10 other dresses in different colors.
You do that shit all the time. She just randomly walks into the closet, comes out in this gown.
I was like, what is going on?
This is in the middle of the nail salon.
In the middle of the nail salon, getting our nails done. She comes out in the dress. Like, that was the plan. And my mom was reeled in. Like, it worked.
She's running a side hustle through that.
This is a four-in-one store.
I give it to her. Like, she was so confident. She was not letting us leave without that dress.
So what ended up happening?
Did you watch the Stas episode? Everybody asked me where that dress came from.
That's the one.
I was avoiding all the comments of like, where'd you get that dress? My nail salon.
That's you got so many compliments that episode too. They're like, Mariah, you look incredible. Baby, it was nail salon dress.
And you know what's even funnier? We came back. We told everybody the story about the dress, and my mom's freaking out about it because obviously she bought the dress.
She said yes to the dress.
While we're filming that episode, my mom goes back to the nail salon to get another color. Another dress in another color. She went back and got another dress for my sister.
Oh my God.
I was like, Mariah goes,
she also got an oil change while she was there.
Like, it was so bizarre, but I was like, only my mother.
You gotta respect the hustle.
Yeah. Wow. And $28, it was a really cute dress for $28. I was like, all right, you can't beat it.
I would not have the balls to ask somebody if they want a dress if I was doing someone's nails. That's crazy.
She did look really good in it, too. She looked really good in it.
It's a good story, though. You know, like, you have that dress now. You can keep it for 30 years, yeah. And you can still talk about this story.
Speaking of doing some shopping, though, I want to talk about the online shopping right now. Especially with Instagram.
Don't even get me started. I fucking hate it. I hate it.
So stupid.
They're not thinking about, like...
Dude, it's just money hungry. Just what they can do to push ads and sell product and just get as many...
We go into an ad read after this?
Yeah.
About Instagram's shopping tool.
No, look, you know what? I don't, like, whatever. Do your store. It's fine. But fix the other things that everybody's having issues with first.
Yeah.
And then come up with a button for the store. But don't replace it with a button that people click 100% of the time they're using the app.
Because it's the notification button.
What the first thing you do when you go on Instagram is go to your notifications to see who's engaged with you, who's liked your post, who's messaged you. They replace it with the store.
But what's weird is his got replaced with his search button.
So yeah, my layout's different than yours. Mine, where you normally would search like for a user, which I like use that, I guess, kind of often too. It's like, I feel like
I'm always present in search for the explore page.
I feel like it's the two most used are the ones that they changed. The one where it's your feed and then the one where it's your search thing. My search thing got changed and it's to Reels. And I'm like, I don't want to see this shit. I don't want
to
see it.
Nobody really wants to see it.
Yeah, I understand, like, Instagram's very competitive, but I don't know why they don't just come up with their own things. Like, as soon as something else is popping off, it's like what happened to Snapchat. And I'm guilty. I got rid of Snapchat as soon as Instagram came out with stories. I haven't used Snapchat in years.
I wasn't the same. I kept on actually using Snapchat and did not use stories at all. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. There was something that happened with Snapchat and Insta Story, which made me want to switch. I think they just made the Insta Stories more, more convenient and more friendly for people on the app to just use it. And then it made me just stop Snapchat and go on Insta Story.
I was just about the convenience. But I was like, it's two in one. Why not?
Exactly.
But now they're pulling into TikTok. Like,
for me, it
what?
Was the tagging. Yeah. Like, you couldn't tag on Snapchat.
Oh, yeah.
That was a big thing, too. Yeah.
And it was just so much easier to, like, find people on Instagram.
That's true.
Than it
but
was for Snapchat.
The thing is that, like, I don't know how they're going to make that more accessible or more user friendly. Like I get it with the Snapchat thing, totally. They did it. They actually pulled people away from that platform because they made changes that were better and they made it better. But like, I don't want to shop on Instagram and I don't want to see Reels, which is essentially like a TikTok thing. I don't have TikTok. So it's like, I don't want that.
And half the time people's Reels are their TikToks. And I'm like,
I don't get the difference between Instagram videos, Instagram Reels, and IGTV. It's all the same fucking thing.
Everybody just posts on all of it.
It's
the same because nobody knows what to do.
Yeah, they just post the same video in all the different formats.
And you get that content on different parts of Instagram. It's not like in the same thing. It's like, why are you making it that much harder for everybody to see
people's
stuff?
The reason we're on Instagram is because it's quick. It's like, okay, I see someone's picture and video. Keep going. Not like going into their Reels. I want to see if there's a new IGTV. Like, I don't check anybody's IGTV.
They're trying to take over. They're trying to be all in one. Yeah. I get what they're doing, but at the same time, it's like you're ruining the app because, well, again, I think about this too. They replace the two most used buttons with what they want us to click on as a store.
Yeah, and they're baiting
us. Obviously, they know what they're doing.
At the end of the day, like, I'm not going to get off Instagram. I'm still going to have it, but I just don't feel the need to check Reels and IGTVs and all this. I don't know.
I will say it does bother me seeing all this like shopping and just swiping through and it's just ad after ad. But that shit works. I've bought so much off of Instagram.
That whole outfit.
This whole outfit right now
Yeah.
is off of Instagram ads.
Really?
Swear to God.
Yeah, I'm guilty of checking.
Okay, and it looks good too.
It feels incredible. Like, I hate it. I hate that I fucking do it.
It feels incredible. I hate it.
Yeah. Well, no, there's a difference between having a whole store and then having ads that pop up through your feed. Your feed is like good. It's like, sure. Like, when I see an ad, I'm like, nah, it's whatever. I'm scrolling through anyways.
But it's so curated to me and what I like. Yeah, which is me too.
They're playing the game. Fucked. They're doing it right.
As soon as I'm renovating my house, everything that all furniture and shelves and walls, all that shit comes up on my feed.
That's what I feel. That's why I just feel like it's getting annoying though at this point, because they've changed so much fairly recently. Like, this is the first change. They say that it's the first like big change to the like layout in 10 years, like really just changing the functionality of it, adding the shopping thing, adding the reels thing. But they've been changing parts of the interface that I just don't like. Like, I don't like how they... Have you gone through your stories, and then after you go through a certain amount, there will be like, it's not anyone's story, but it's a page that suggests who to follow.
Yes, oh, that's new.
No, I haven't gotten that.
And I'm like, I don't want to see that
right
on my story.
Yeah, I go right past it.
And then same thing when you're scrolling on your feed, every like fourth, it's like you get an ad after every like fourth post that you see or third post. It's like very frequent. Yeah. And then when you're all caught up and you've seen everything in the feed, shows you suggested posts of people that you don't even follow. And I'm like, if I wanted to see it, I'd follow them.
Vine used to have this. Vine used to, I think after like a few years we're on Vine, they made a suggested tab where it would, when you download the app, mm-hmm. the Vine app, mm-hmm. it would suggest you like the top creators to follow. And I remember a lot of us were trying to get on that section because it was like you would get so much traction and viewership from Vine putting you on that spot. So I think Instagram is doing the same thing. I don't know if those creators are paying to be there
or if
Instagram just likes their content or they're just good with them or they're partnered in something where they just have their shit up.
I noticed that I get a lot of like tattoo artists, because I follow like a good amount of tattoo artists on Instagram, and I actually do frequent their pages. So I think it's just a thing that they're using data and just trying to target what I'm looking at, because I get a lot of, when I finish with my feed, it'll say you're all checked up, and then it'll suggest tattoo artists that I don't follow, and I'm like,
you know who's gonna get there at some point too? TikTok.
Only been up for a
year. I feel like I see it in the next half a year to a year where TikTok will do a massive
change.
Something's
going to happen.
Where everyone's stuff is going to get like really messed up.
What's really bugging me right now is like, there's no denying that it's listening to what we're saying, because I was talking to Reed the other day and he was like, man, I wish I could find a pair of jeans that are like thermal insulated, like just like some sort of like lining on the inside that would keep me warm while wearing jeans. And I was like, yeah, I haven't really seen that. I go home from hanging out with him and I get ads, thermal insulated jeans. And I'm like, you can't, like, how is this happening? You got an ad for
that
the
was
exact.
That was the weirdest one that I've ever experienced. I've gotten a lot of those that are like, oh my God, I just said this and it's popped up. I feel like I avoid it usually because I feel like it is mostly TikTok that happens with, where it like really listens to what you're saying. I got a Facebook ad the other day when we were filming the James episode, and it was I remember Heath came out, you know, got dressed. I was like, oh, that hat looks cute on him, whatever, he looks nice. I didn't say anything though. I literally just thought it in my head. I was like, oh, new hat, nice. Didn't say anything. He didn't say anything about his hat. Nobody said anything about his hat. I opened Facebook. I got an ad for the exact hat that he's wearing.
Same
I had
color,
to ask
same
him,
style, same
it's
brand,
that orange
like,
one.
Yeah, I had to
the hat. It was like the French hat. Yes. What is it called?
It's like a newsboy.
Yeah.
Hat thing.
It's not like a basic hat. Like,
no,
that's
that's nuts.
I realized it was like, I was like, that's the exact same color. That's whatever. I realized the brand was Brixton, which I know that you wear a lot of. And I go, I have to screenshot this. And I asked you, what brand was that hat? And you said Brixton. And I go, is this the exact hat? It was the exact hat.
So
how does that make
weird.
Sense?
I don't know how it makes sense. And it was also, you know how on Facebook, the ads are like set up. So
it'll
in
show
like
multiple
a horizontal.
Pictures.
Yeah. Like set up. It was the first one. It was the first one front and center was the hat you were wearing.
Okay. This might sound a little like far-fetched or whatever, but do you think Instagram knows that you guys follow each other? You guys are near each other because your locations are right next to each other.
Yeah.
So
that's what I think it is.
Yeah.
I think they know that they somehow know that I live here.
They probably saw like that I had just ordered that and
yeah.
Okay, have you seen The Social Dilemma?
Barely. I wanted to watch it. I watched like the starting half because it was on at someone's house.
Watch it.
Oh, you liked it?
It will mess you up.
I remember it was kind of like it was kind of corny with the way they were doing the storyline and
shit. The storyline is a little bit corny. But what they're doing is real and it's so insane.
I hear it makes people really uncomfortable like at the end
just
you just
knowing
feel like
how much data mining is going on, like with you, like how much they know about you, know more about you, and know how to make you think is the craziest thing.
That's
in the world.
It's weirdest thing. The yeah. whole thing. But that's the thing is the manipulation. It's like it's under people's awareness. Yeah. You don't know that you're being manipulated. Right. You feel certain ways and you don't know. You think it's like an original thought, but it was designed to make you feel that way.
They're training us. Really trippy.
Maybe our TikTok ideas aren't actually our ideas. Maybe they curate it. They know that we're going to do that video or come up with something like that.
And bingo.
They go into detail how like everything is planned and like set up almost like in like a magic way to make you think these things like and get you addicted to your phone, to your app. Mm-hmm. Everything is just fighting for your attention and your time on your phone.
And that's a specific job. Like there's a specific person that has that
job. Like, it's like a psychologist basically doing this.
Exactly.
And you know how like you swipe up to like refresh your feed?
Yeah.
It's set up in a way that it feels almost like a slot machine. You don't know what you're going to get. So you like swipe up and it's like a refresh to see like, ooh, what am I going to get?
Yeah.
And like all of that is taken into consideration. So you're like sitting there, like your phone is right there and you're like, I just want to play the slot one more time. But let me just see if I could get something I'm going to like and I'm going to want to see.
Yeah.
So it's just like that constant like shit that you like when they said that, I was like, oh, my God. And it made so much sense. Like that's exactly what it is.
They know us, baby.
Like just on explore, just refresh. Let me see if I'm going to get something I'm going to like. Let me like that picture.
And that's why this episode is sponsored by. I'm right into an
hour. All the social media. Get on social media.
But yeah, no, it's so scary.
I watched the trailer for Social Dilemma too, and it was like they initially thought that it was going to be a good thing. They were they were giving the people what they wanted, but it's actually having like psychological repercussions. Like there's an entire generation now that's growing up with more like
anxiety
and
everybody's so addicted to their phone, the internet, and
comparing to other people now.
They were saying that like the self-harm rate and just anxiety, depression is through the roof
because
they're exposed to this and just like they even talked about like using filters. Like it was like you could post a normal picture, it doesn't do well, it doesn't get that many likes, but you put this filter on that makes you look beautiful and they're like, oh my God, so cute. Yes. Yeah. And it's just like, well shit, well why would I want to post a normal picture? It doesn't do well and like this makes my cheeks look a little slimmer or puts a little rosy on
like it could lead to body dysmorphia.
Yeah,
like,
it's so bad.
Did they get into politics at all on that show?
So I fell asleep the last, I think, 20 minutes left.
Uh-huh.
And it looked like they were getting into, they were talking about politics, how everybody thinks that they're seeing the same thing on their phones.
Yeah.
Where I can see a whole bunch of different things, you can see a whole bunch of different things, but I'm assuming that you're seeing the same, let's just call it propaganda or some sort of news outlet that fits what I think.
Right.
Which is just separating people more and more and more because this is being catered to me, this is being catered to somebody else, this is being catered to somebody else. And it's just feeding them a rabbit hole of what they're already thinking.
Yeah, my TikTok page is like a great example of it because I was in the beginning I was getting a lot of Biden TikToks just on my feed and then on my For You page and I got one Trump TikTok. It was obviously a person talking about Trump. So that was the first one I saw. I watched it. I went through the comments, just read the comments. People were saying, why the fuck is this on my page? Blah, 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 blah. I was just looking. It was the first one I saw. And then the next day I see three. The next day I see six.
It saw that you like interacted with it and they're like, oh, he wants to see more of it. He wants to see more.
Interacted by clicking through the comments. Dude. And then it ended up replacing all like the Democrat TikToks to Republican TikToks. I was like, oh my God, this is insane. Imagine how many, like if this goes to anybody that can consume shit easily and just believe everything, this could like really fuck
that's the thing it
up.
Works for a lot of people that's the thing
that's it was when I saw it, I was like, this is actually insane, and a lot of people don't notice this.
What I found interesting the other day, this was before the election, but you were talking about how many like texts you were getting, like political texts, and a lot and most of yours were like all Democratic ones.
Yeah.
And I found it interesting because you have you have a California number,
yeah,
and I still have my Florida number. I was getting nothing but Trump ones.
Oh,
I found that
and you're not even registered Republican either.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
So that's, I found
it just,
that
it depends on what state you live in.
Yeah. I was everyone has, I guess, their own way of like who they want to tap into.
Yeah. And it was
tap, tap, tap.
And in the social dilemma, it was talking about like on Google too. like your Google, if you start typing something in, it is going to cater the drop down searches for you specifically, where you like where you're located, what you have like done before.
You can literally type in a one letter and exactly what you're looking for is going to come up the first like three. It's
right. In the trailer, they use like climate change is or something like that. And depending on how they think you think about climate change, is a conspiracy, is fake, is whatever, or is killing the polar bears or what, like it depends.
Ours came out, climate change is not real. Dash Vardon.
Oh, that's funny.
Hold on, why is this first on my Google? It's because I follow him.
That's funny. That's so funny.
That's wild.
It's going to be crazy, like, to see where this world goes.
That's why I am preparing. Oh, and I am prepping.
Clothes are not the only thing you've been buying online.
He talks about the end of the world so much. And it's like, at first I was just it was such an eye roll. But now I'm like thinking about it. I'm like, oh my God, this could be like a thing.
The end of the world. But no, I just have like this feeling like it's just so much division and just getting everybody to attack everybody that I feel like something bad is coming. And I am afraid of it. I don't want something bad to happen anymore. I'm just preparing for the worst. I feel like a lot of people are unhappy, and as they should be, a lot of people are on edge, and I would like to prepare myself for what may come. So I've ordered...
I don't know anything about this.
He ordered a... Build a bunker.
A bunker.
You just
build
set
a bunker. A portable bunker.
It's me online shopping at night. It's 1 a.m. I'm just like, I can't get
off. Pop a little Adderall and just...
Could you imagine at malls, instead of Build-A-Bears, they have Build-A-Bunkers?
Build-A-Bunkers? I was going to say Build-A-Bear bunkers and stop myself.
I wish I had a bunker. But yeah, I've been... I bought... quite a few months, over 6 months worth of emergency food.
And is this just like regular food or is this like special food?
Camping food?
It's basically just like freeze-dried stuff that you would just add water to. Which brings me to my next point. I have water purification filtration systems. So if water gets contaminated, I don't have to worry about that. But yeah, I have quite a bit of food on hand.
Okay, Heath, I'm going to be completely honest before you continue. Do you set up for things like this because you watch like a lot of movies, or do movies help you like think, oh, maybe this could actually happen? Just because it's happening in movies doesn't mean it's fiction. It's like this could
happen. I think movies not necessarily dictate what I think about this whole thing, but I think movies are not predictive.
I think the plot line of movies are seeming more realistic.
Right. Everything that we've watched has seemed like so outrageous. Like they would never do that. Right. And then come to find out, oh my God, they're doing that.
Yeah. Oh, like, okay. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, it's better safe than sorry. Like worst case scenario, I've got 6 months worth of emergency food that's not going to be wasted. I could eat it at any time. But if something does happen, like a lot of people, like if I asked you right now, how much food do you have in your house? Like if coronavirus comes back, 5 times worse. Holy shit. It's a crazy outbreak. We can't even open grocery stores.
Oh, yeah. I'm fucked. I have like maybe a day and a half worth of food.
Exactly. For sure. Yeah. Most people have a day, 2 days, maybe 3 days worth of stuff that they can eat in their house.
It's because I think it's impossible for a situation like that to happen.
Exactly. But what if?
I know. It's crazy.
Well, and I was going to say that I feel like I was having these conversations with my sister because I quarantined with her back in Florida whenever this first kicked off. And I feel like back then it was becoming a very real thing that people had to think about because there was low supply on a lot of stuff, toilet paper and things like that. The supply chain was not meeting the demands. And so it was really not that far-fetched. We weren't far off back then from it like being not sustainable.
It's because people were being fucking greedy and not giving enough supplies for everybody else. It has nothing to do with the stores. It's all people just being fucking greedy.
You
got to
think about where the stuff's coming from. If it's in a spot that's locked down and they can't produce the toilet paper or whatever it is, you can't get it.
I think Tyson, the meats or whatever. There were plants that somebody got COVID and they had to shut down the entire plant, which means production had to halt for everyone to get tested. Like they had to.
So it's like now we're not getting the meat. And also people are like, fuck, well there's no more meat coming in. We got to get as much as we can.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. And that's all just like last minute stuff. So that's why I was like, you know what? I'll be ahead of the curve and get it now.
My sister and I were actually talking about this. We were just like, what if this happens and then some people stockpile and other people don't. The other people that didn't are going to have to start getting aggressive if they want to get their supplies. And
imagine people aren't able to get food. imagine everybody, not everybody in Los Angeles, but you got a good majority of people here that don't have enough food, and they're like, grocery stores, sorry, we can't open it. Like, this thing's going on. It's crazy. What are you going to do for food?
Do we, like, break into a McDonald's or something? Like, how do you, like...
Well, they're not getting
They're not going to... Yeah, I'm like, they're probably...
What are you going
to
do?
I don't know. They got the McPlant
you're
now,
gonna,
so...
You're going to start going to people's
They probably
houses.
Have a lot of those.
Boom.
I'm just saying, like, and I'm not saying this, like, it's going to be happening, and this is 100% guaranteed, but as a just-in-case, which is why I am stocking up on everything.
Because you were saying that, like, look, you're like, I'm good. I'm going to be prepared, blah, blah, blah. You're like, I'm going to buy myself a bike so I can go through traffic and shit. I was like, but you're talking about a bike where you couldn't even fit more than you. I'm like, baby, what are you doing about Mariah?
And when I said I bought 6 months worth I'm of good. Food, that ain't cutting down to 3 months, baby.
Yeah,
you have to get your...
And Heath, we're, and like, and I'm going to be completely honest here.
Yeah.
Like, you, okay, you need to get on the bike now. And because
right.
shit is getting crazy. You can't, like, be in a truck because you it's like back-to-back traffic. You need to get the fuck out of there on a bike. You got all this 6 month worth of food. Where is that going?
In my stomach.
In your backpack?
We gonna be eating good right before we hit the road.
So I guess you have prepared for any type of situation. If you were stuck in your house,
yeah.
you're prepared
if
for
you
that.
Need to leave.
Right.
Yes, and you have a bike to get out of here if there's like a zombie apocalypse or something.
I'm gonna be building out the bike to do some sort of saddlebag, some sort of a emergency type of vehicle. Throw it in the back of the truck. If you know, we got gridlock, can't leave LA, everybody's stuck on the highway, boom.
Zombies are coming.
Exactly. you're feeling it. Drop the bike out the back of the truck, pull the truck off the side of the road, or we got the Raptor, we can go off-roading.
Okay.
But if I get to the point where I can't do it anymore, I got the bike in the back, she can hop on the back, and we'll just...
And that's only if he has his Raptor. Bike, you're kind of fucked, Mariah. You have to find your way on your own.
I'm fit. Learning all of this right now as we speak. I'm like,
Mariah's just writing this down, just getting prepared. All right.
You ordered what?
No, I think that's good to have, though. Like, this is why we're a match, because not that I don't think about stuff like this. I think about it, but I never worry ever. I'm very, like, laid back. I'm like, if we all hit rock bottom... We're all at rock bottom together. And then you can only go up from there. That's what I'm thinking of. I was like, if this happens, it happens. Like,
rock bottom together, a lot of times is not
no,
the best
I understand
thing
that, but like, you make it work and you're going to figure it out.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But,
like,
yeah.
You're going to get out of everything. Like
it is.
This world has been through so much. Like, I feel like you're.
It is.
I feel
funny,
like everything's going to be okay. I'm glad you're doing what you're doing, because I probably wouldn't survive without you, but. I don't have that mindset. I'm just like, we're good. Everybody eat some cake and be happy. Like, I'm just way too like.
Yeah, I'm like, Heath, do you have room for a tricycle
it?
In the back
yeah, no,
in case I need to roll
funny,
out?
Like, tricycle.
It's funny. People will think I'm crazy, but then when
I didn't
some
say
shit,
you're crazy.
No, I'm saying some people think.
Oh,
whatever.
Oh yeah, 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 definitely.
But when some shit goes down, they're like, who would you go to? And they're like, Heath.
Like when I watched the movie Contagion, I thought that movie was not believable. I was like, oh my God, there would never be like the system or America would never let it get this bad. Contagion is much more exaggerated than what actually happened. Like Contagion, you got it, you fucking died. There was a 3% chance that you were like gonna stay alive after catching that virus.
Have you seen?
Well, it's the opposite for Corona. But that movie made it like when you watch, you're like, oh my God, it's happening kind of right now. Like with everybody like freaking out, going to the grocery store, like stockpiling, everyone like locking down. So after that, I was like, oh, so it is possible. I wonder what other movies are possible.
I think it'll make us stronger. I think we'll all be there for each other, and it'll be like a whole, like helping each. Imagine.
I think the
like,
world's gonna end.
I'm just
well,
a total.
The world. If the world ends, I know Post Malone has a little bunker that he's making. So are you gonna? Where's your bunker gonna be?
I'm probably gonna go close to him. We could bunk out together. And
have some late night jam sessions.
Well, probably not anymore. You just told everybody that you're bunking next to Post, so he's gonna want to be by himself
right, shit,
at this point.
Shit. That's because I don't want to tell you guys where my underground bunker is.
But you're not gonna tell us?
Nope.
Is it a one person bunker?
Yes, it is.
Okay, where are you gonna fit all your food then?
Shit.
It's all your food no. and then one little circle for you in the middle, just
no, I don't have a bunker, but I don't know. I'm trying to do best that I possibly can.
So you're not fully prepared. Got it.
I'm trying.
You should hold a press conference for the end of the world. That'd be nice. Guys, just be prepared.
I'm just saying, like, I would rather be safe than sorry. And it's all stuff that I can use eventually. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We got food, guns, and ammo, baby. That's all we need.
You just need to figure out a way. You need to prioritize which one is the most important and then go from there.
Guns and ammo.
Always ready.
Do you
that.
Know about the story when Kenny came home came shot him? Unexpectedly. No, I didn't shoot him.
Oh my god, you shot him, Kevin?
He's just like, have you seen it?
Came to this house?
It was the Porter Ranch house.
Oh, okay. So, okay. So like a year ago.
Yeah, so Kenny has been in California. He lived in the Bay Area. And he was down visiting.
Mm-hmm.
And he was staying at my house.
What is the Bay Area? San Francisco?
San Francisco. Yeah. San Francisco, NorCal. Right, you...
Just wants to show that she knows.
Mariah, stay interested. Very good.
I just told Zane during the bathroom break, I was complaining because half the time I don't know what you guys are talking about. I don't get a lot of things. And Zane's like, it's okay to ask questions. Like, it's okay to sound like a little silly. I was going to say dumb and I changed
silly,
it.
Just ask questions. that just makes you not... It just makes you more interested, and like it could possibly ask questions that people are wondering.
That people don't
know.
Right.
But you know what I thought of? I knew it was San Francisco, but I never heard of the Bay Area until I moved to California. So I'm like, okay, other people don't know. What's that, San Francisco?
So Mariah's like, I didn't know either. I was like, you know what? Let's take Zane's advice. Let's try this out. What's the Bay Area?
And then I answered my own question.
That's all right.
If y'all want to start a podcast, you can. If we can, any of you can.
I didn't know what the Bay Area was 5 years ago, so maybe people don't know.
I didn't know when I moved out here.
Very good, Bubba.
Yeah, good job. All right, continue.
so Kenny came down from the Bay, and he was staying with me. He went out one night. I was home, and I ended up going to sleep early. I heard something in like the kitchen, like downstairs, like just like moving around.
What's the kitchen?
Good thing. Oh my god.
Stupid. And a kitchen is
it's a room in a house, right? Where you like cook. Jesus.
Okay, sorry, continue.
Can you clarify?
This is actually a crazy story, so sorry for
So I hear something and I'm like, oh shit, it startled me. I woke up to it and I was like, oh my god. I was like, I got like really nervous. So I texted, I quickly grabbed my phone, I texted Kenny, I was like, are you home right now? Is that you in the kitchen? He was like, what are you talking about? I'm in my Uber. I'm almost home. And I was like, you're not here. And he's like, no, I'm almost home. Like, is everything
Kenny.
Okay? Like, what's going on?
Kenny, not
give
very
me the
smart.
Oscar. No, I know. I don't know. I didn't plan on doing that. Or any. Obviously, I didn't know you were going to wake up. It was like 2 a.m., I want to say, if I remember correctly. And I remember I was throwing something away in the trash. I didn't think I was being that loud, but you heard me upstairs.
Oh, we are always alert.
Yeah, I was going to say, you stay ready for the end of the world. but like, I was just throwing something away. And then when you texted me, my phone's always on silent, so it didn't make a noise. And so I was like, oh, this is going to be funny. I'm going to get him like, oh, cute little lighthearted prank. Not even thinking. Like, thinking back, I'm like, that was the dumbest thing. I know Heath is always like strapped and ready. So like, I was just like, it's going to be funny. And then, so yeah, I was texting him. I was like, what? No, I'm in the Uber. What, is everything okay?
Oscar worthy, but you just texted.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a really good voice note. What are you talking about?
He has like a car driving like sound effect from the side.
He edits it on like iMovie real quick.
I'm like, what are you talking about? No, sir, it's a left up here. Yes, a left.
In text. Sir, it's a left.
Sir.
So he goes along with it and I double checked and I was like, all right, shit. So I ended up grabbing my gun and I start walking downstairs and I'm like going slowly around the corner, like just peeking. And I see him standing there at the bottom of the stairs and he's just
I was like smiling like, gotcha.
Gotcha. And I'm like, almost gun. Gotcha.
Gun fully pointed at me. I was like, oh, okay. Not a joke.
I was just like, I was like actually freaking out though. Cause I was probably more scared than you were.
With a gun pointed at me.
but yeah, and obviously, like, I'm not fucking stupid. I'm not going to go shooting willy-nilly.
Like, you wouldn't really, like, actually shoot somebody unless...
No, it is, like, I've talked about this before. Like, I have a gun just in case.
Yeah.
And I pray to God I never have to use it for anything other than just, like, at the range or whatever. But... like, I hope I never have to use it.
Yeah, and you have to protect yourself because there's, like, crazy stories of, like, YouTubers getting broken into. And there was a couple – I think there was a couple YouTubers that, like, where this guy came over ready to, like take him hostage and wrap him and, like, tie him up and shit. And who knows, probably kill him because he had guns in his trunk. But, like, you don't know who's fucking crazy enough. Because to find people's addresses these days, they have it so public. It's unbelievable how legal that is. It makes no fucking sense that people's addresses can just be public and anybody can find them.
Even your friend from back – I don't know if I should say Jordan, but
– oh, yeah.
Even your friend from back home, like his house got broken into. They got tied up, robbed, and that was it. Like at gunpoint.
He got held at gunpoint. They tied the entire family up, roped them up, sat them all in the living room, and just ransacked the house. And like,
they just
he literally had a gun to his head,
and he had to sit there. Yeah.
Dude, he said it was the most horrifying
thing he's
ever experienced.
Like, you never know. It could happen to anybody. You never know.
And yeah, and obviously, like I said, I'm not, like, just going to go shooting anybody. Like, obviously, I would try to avoid that situation. And
no, but, dude, I'm all for it. Like, you have to be alert at all fucking, at all costs.
Because
it's not worth it. Because once it happens, they're like, well, you should have been, well, you should have had something to protect you. It's like, well, I mean, you don't think about that until it fucking happens.
Yeah.
Like, when I got broken into, I was like, Heath, can you come over with your gun? Because this dude kept breaking in, and it was forced entry, and it got worse and worse, and I did not know if this guy was trying to hurt us or not.
And that was
right.
multiple times
crazy
without
in the camera.
Any self-defense
Without the cops trying to help at all.
Yeah, and the cops weren't helping at all, so it's like, okay, we have to take this matter in our own hands. I can't just move to a hotel for the rest of my life. Like, I have to be in this house. It's my house. I bought it. So
I'm just picturing Home Alone. This is my house. I have to defend it.
But no, it's scary. Like, you guys might think it's crazy that Heath has a gun and he's like ready to use that whenever, but like, fuck, shit happens. And there's YouTubers that have been killed by crazy people because they know where they are and they know where they live. And it's like, that's all you need. That's everything you need.
Well, I feel like at the end of the day, too, it's like, if you shot me, like, you would have been in the right. I mean, like, I wasn't living there at the time. Like, it wasn't my house. Like,
right.
You had a homosexual break-in, you know?
He was trying to touch me.
Imagine the headlines, huh? Redneck shoots
homosexual for throwing something away.
Homosexual tries recycling. Shot.
Tries recycling.
Oh,
they
shit.
Would. They recycling. Would.
Homosexual shot after trying to tell a joke. Homosexual joke ends in bloodshed.
Here we have Kenny Allen at the hospital. I just can't believe a friend like that would do this. I
trusted him coming out.
I I just never thought he would do this thing. Oh,
and
my
I literally told him this less than 12 hours ago, and
he told me his door's always open if I need anything. And I just, you just can't trust anybody, bottom line.
Oh, shit.
Me in the hospital bed. That's why I now carry a gun with me everywhere that I go. In the
it
hospital.
Goes off.
Yeah. Boom.
Oh, shit.
Holy shit. Guys, you have to laugh at these situations. Yeah. I almost died.
Sorry, Kenny.
I almost died.
No, I think, I'm pretty sure I did that once. I think we talked about this already, but like, there was a time where I like told you I wasn't there when you asked me if I was there.
Yeah.
And
is that a joke?
I don't know why do we think that's funny? It's not
that
funny.
Scott did that too.
Scott, Zane, and Kenny.
Yeah, you told that story where Scott just like was gonna do a video where he breaks into your house or like sleeps over in your house for 24 hours, and he showed up and you.
Like, we forget there's a million, a trillion other people in this world that can all...
Maybe the world doesn't revolve around us.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Clearly, we need to get better senses of humor, because all of us think that that's the funniest thing ever. I'm like, I'm going to tell him I'm not here, and I am.
For the few of you that think that something like this is funny to do to your friends, just don't do
and
it.
And me, of all people.
You never know. Like, do you ever see, like, the... Like, I feel like it's becoming more and more trendy. A lot of girls post, like, their weapons on their, like, keychains and stuff. And they're kind of cute. They're
like
fun.
Pepper spray and
pepper
stuff.
Pepper spray. They have, like, these cute little cats now where it just looks like a cat keychain, but the ears are, like, daggers.
Oh!
I'm guilty of, like, looking at
them. That's a cute
little cute. They all, like, look really cute now, and all the girls are, like, posting about their, like,
they
weapons.
They should have one on the phone where you just go...
Just in case. Like, you
patent
never
that.
Know what
Write that down.
Oh, I said that in a weird way. Just to protect myself. Ooh, I want one on my phone.
I don't know why. I feel like I might be making this up. I feel like I've seen something where it's like a phone case that like doubles as a taser. I might have just
had a dream. No, I saw that too, but I was like, is this a joke? Because that would not be good for the
It's an app, the taser app, just like the beer or the lighter.
Yeah, because imagine you're just like next to somebody and you go like...
your hair just fried. Like.
But guys, whatever. And in the end of the day, if the end of the world was going to happen, I could probably save y'all financially with my Bitcoin
invested in. Zane and his damn Bitcoin.
So like 6-7 years, or sorry, I'm like,
here I go. I don't know what Bitcoin is. What is Bitcoin?
I don't know what it is either. It's just like
Bitcoin
is
a cryptocurrency.
I know what crypto is and I know what currency is. It doesn't make sense together.
It's like, I know what pickles are and I know what bagels
like,
are. I don't know
you're
what
my kryptonite. and currency's money.
Oh my. So, you want kryptonite.
Girl, kryptonite is with a K.
So to me, cryptocurrency Superman, sounds like gambling.
Superman currency. It's an online currency that is universally accepted. Say you have a dollar here or a dollar somewhere else. They're not worth the same exact thing.
Right. I know that.
And this allows it to be universal. It's all equal. Like it's just legal. Yes.
It's actually,
so why wouldn't they just use that for everything?
Well, that's what I feel like is going to be happening very, very soon.
Also
but
too,
why does that sound like a bad thing? You guys are like, that's going to happen soon. Like, wouldn't that be an amazing thing to
it's
happen?
It's just going
to
be like a one world currency that is just accepted
don't
everywhere.
We all just want to be one and accepted?
Because like governments can't really, there isn't any sort of like laws or anything in place about like how governments can deal with, you know, like interfere with, the regulation and everything like that. So it's just kind of like a big, like, we don't know what it's going to be like.
It gets really tricky. So our dollar was backed by gold. Gold is something that you can't make. There's a limited amount of it, which is what gives it its worth.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Then cryptocurrency is backed by a fake mining of a Bitcoin. So a Bitcoin, you have to have like supercomputers, and people that have multiple supercomputers can run programs and some sort of I don't know the exact word for it, but you can make a Bitcoin yourself. It just takes a really long time of some sort of algorithm.
Wait, a Bitcoin is tangible? Like
no. It's not.
No. It's not. It's you can't like counterfeit it.
So
you can't like double spend
it online.
It's some sort like I don't know exactly.
Is there
how
like
people
a picture
it.
Of a Bitcoin or no? Or is it an app? No.
It's like a crypto. It's like it's non-existent. It's kind of like.
But there's also a bunch of
this
different cryptocurrencies. There's Litecoin. There's Ethereum.
It's confusing, but every single person talks about it, and I don't.
It sounds
know
like
how.
Something that you can easily like do something illegal with.
That's what
like,
I'm asking.
It's not traceable. Like, I don't know. It's really bizarre. I don't know too much about it. I kind of did a little bit of research. But basically, Bitcoin a long time ago wasn't worth anything. A bunch of people bought Bitcoin that were like ahead of the curve, and it skyrocketed. I think it went up to like close to $20,000 per Bitcoin, one coin.
When it started at like $100, right?
Even below that, yeah. So if you had that, bought a bunch of coins, a lot of people became multi-millionaires off of it. But Zane decided to buy some Bitcoin.
I bought like a fifth of a Bitcoin like six, 7 years ago. And recently I was like, oh my God, because I haven't been on my Bitcoin like page in years. I was like, oh my God, I wonder how much money I've made off putting, like I put like $2,500 worth of.
How long ago?
Like 6 years ago, like 5-6 years
ago. Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh my God, I'm probably sitting on like $50,000 to $100,000.
I might be a millionaire. Right now.
So I tried to log in. I didn't know my password or anything. It took me a while to get like that information back. And I finally logged in. I was just like, baby, let's see what I got.
Negative.
And I looked and it went up $700.
In six years.
But it is kind of cool. But at the same time, I don't get it. It's like
I wish we could go back to paying with like a coin, like a big gold coin.
They're trying to get rid of coins.
No.
A lot of places don't even accept change
anymore. I like
anymore.
Change.
Yeah, they don't.
A lot of
when you pay in cash, they give you change. Coins back. They never give the you like,
a lot of places are starting to get rid of it. Like you can't pay with coins. And if they give you change back, they'll give you a receipt. Like a lot of gas
stations.
That's not
fair. I used to pay for gas with coins. I used to dig up coins. Can
I used to steal my mom's quarters to go buy cigarettes.
I did that all the time, but I would buy honey buns, not cigarettes.
Well,
everyone's got their vices.
Pick your poison, baby.
Your kryptonite.
Pick your kryptonite.
She goes to her parents. Have you guys heard of kryptonite currency?
And I'm like, you haven't?
She goes, it's the currency that Superman uses.
You could quiz me in 5 minutes and I would have no idea what to say. I've never heard of it.
I don't know her.
I wish I knew more about stocks.
I just recently got into stocks this year.
Yeah. Just that whole world just seems so shady.
You know
what? That's
so
why
sketchy.
I don't get involved. I'm like, just make my money. That's what I just
yeah. I do. I put my money.
It's kind of fun.
I
can't it's like it out. It's like grown up gambling, but like you could learn about it and do better than normal gambling.
Yeah. Ooh, you know what I wish y'all would learn about and do better with?
What?
Gaming.
I know.
No, I know. Kenny, I don't even want to talk about it.
It's a sensitive topic, okay?
Heath and I made a joint Twitch channel, Zane and Heath, and we tried going on a couple times and just it's really stressful because we have all these different apps that we got to use to go live, especially when we're playing with friends online. And then we have like this whole Discord that we got to worry about and Streamlabs and the game we have on. And then we have a bunch of all of you guys saying that you can't hear Discord, you can't hear the game, and then you can't hear us. And then Heath is sitting there putting the audio up. I'm sitting here trying to put Streamlabs up. And it's like there's always something
wrong. It's
too loud.
It's too quiet. Are they muted? And it's just like, I don't know which one it is.
Yeah.
And
there are mics were going out and it just...
We had a lot of technical difficulties that we didn't expect. And we're trying to dial it in and we had somebody come over and look at it and trying to set it up. So sorry about that last stream.
It's so fucking hard.
And the one before that.
We're a little upset. The one before that was just really messy.
That was on brand. They spent like thousands of dollars on furniture to make the room all cool. Isn't even seen on camera.
But we will get it figured out shortly. And we're sorry for the people that did watch. It is being worked on.
They're like, I've dedicated all my life for you to make a Twitch. And we don't do it anymore.
I know, Mike, you were talking about, you're like, oh, it was just so stressful. I'm like, it was stressful to watch.
I know.
It was stressful as a viewer.
But yeah, we'll get there. We'll get it fixed, baby. So don't worry.
Let's lighten the mood.
They're all deep questions.
All
right. Lighten up the mood.
What's your least favorite quality about each other?
You guys got 20 minutes?
My family and us, we had to do that. We used to do that. It was like the most,
They had family sit downs at dinner.
We have family sit downs, not during dinner. It would be like just like after dinner. Yeah, we would all sit at the table and like we would all... Not my idea. This is like when we were young too. It was like everybody had to talk about everything they liked about each other and not liked about each other. It was the crazy thing at the moment. In the moment, I was just like, oh my God, this, like, I guess we have to do this as a family. But not now thinking
every
back to it.
Every family does this, right?
I was like, that was the worst possible thing you can do as a family. About what you didn't like about each other. Because all it did was make everybody like cry and then feel weird after.
But I feel like that could be like constructive. Though.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm like, I remember
it didn't
being
seem constructive at the time.
I remember being young and like, I was the youngest kid in my family. And I just knew my family had so much like drama and underlying things. I was like, I really think we should hold. I remember as a kid, like telling my mom, I think we need to have like family meetings, like on, like a game night or something where we just like talk about
hash
things.
Shit out.
Never happened. and look at me now. I moved away.
I feel like that's good for people that have a hard time speaking their mind and like saying what they feel.
My family.
Right. I would start with the criticism. Be like, I think you should do better with this. I don't like when you do this. However, you are very helpful. You are very this. You are like, that's nice.
But you see, to me, that what comes after is just all pity. It's just like, oh, I'm only saying this.
So that's
because...
why you do the compliment sandwich. You're like, I love your shoes. Compliment. Also, your breath is a little bit stinky today,
but
your hair looks
shoes.
Great. the same compliment.
But those shoes.
So we're gonna kick this off with some call-in questions from the Zane Heath hotline.
Yeah. We haven't done much of these. We were supposed to, but we just kind of lose track and kind of forget it. Everybody
you also had like, to leave early on the last episode.
Oh yeah, that was too. So
again, guys, you can get the number in our description below if you want to call and leave us a question.
Unfiltered hotline.
I'm waiting for someone to call in with the name Colin, because every time you guys say Colin, I think
Colin Coffee Talk.
And then Kenny's gonna make a joke and it's gonna be really funny. And...
Mariah goes, but I just wanted to make it first, so when that happens, I made the joke.
You know
already.
Where it came from.
Okay, right. Let's get started, baby. It's Colin Coffee Talk. Wait.
Oh. Yeah.
All right, ready?
Ready.
Hey, my name is Carrington. I am from Georgia. So my question is pretty generalized, so pretty much for everybody. So I've been a listener since like the very first podcast, and I noticed that y'all's confidence about what you were doing was very low, not to call you out. But how would you say from episode 1, to episode 50, your confidence has changed? Like, do you know what you're doing? Are you glad that you ended up doing the podcast and that it's done so well? So yeah, I want your opinions on, you know, from day one to now about the podcast. So yeah, love you guys.
Thank you, Carrington. That was a really good question, actually.
That's actually a very good question. And I'm surprised this came out like 2 days after I did this. I was watching older episodes of the podcast just because it just popped up, and I was like, oh, let me watch a few of these because I kind of forgot how we podcasted back then.
Horrible.
And What?
We were bad.
No, no. I was actually really surprised. I think because here's the thing, just like all of our, like when we start our YouTube channel, anything, yeah. we get so excited because we have, it's a brand new, it's a clean new slate. We have so much to talk about and it's just to a bunch of people we feel like we've never talked to before. And that I saw a lot of that excitement in our older episodes because we never talked about anything mm-hmm. on a podcast. We were actually, I feel like, much more amped to talk about things because we just had so much to be open about. And now, obviously, like throughout a podcast, by like the 50th episode, they're now, especially since we're not doing much, it becomes harder to like come up with things to talk about, like because there's nothing really going on during the week because we don't go out or anything. So it's like, fuck, we have to come up with like things to talk about. So I definitely felt like my confidence has gone a little lower because like every week I'm just like, oh my God, what are we gonna do? And then I think about that throughout every episode.
I get what you're saying with that. I think in the beginning, like the first few episodes, I wasn't confident in the sake of this is a new platform to try a new video type out. So I was a little bit nervous and then obviously got more comfortable. Like I feel the most comfortable for a podcast now than I ever have. But I do get what you're saying about that with like topics and stuff because we were doing a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the big difference with back then versus now is that I lived 30 minutes away and we honestly didn't see each other that much.
That's true.
So everything that we were talking about was told on the podcast for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have exciting things that do happen, like some stories that we tell that we've heard before.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just getting the story out to you guys listening and viewing
mm-hmm.
Because we obviously think they're funny and we want to share them. So it's not like our first time hearing stuff. But yeah, I think that's where the excitement comes during.
Yeah. And we do talk a lot outside of this podcast room.
Yeah.
Especially lately.
I agree with bits and pieces of that, but I think I remember the first 2 months of filming, we were a mess. I remember being so nervous.
Yeah.
We were all like, I don't know if like, do we sound smart? Do we sound dumb? We're kind of messy. But then I think we learned to embrace it because people were like, oh, you guys sound really authentic because you're not perfect. And like, we really like took that on as like, okay, this is our brand. Like, it's okay to be this way. We don't have to be perfect. I think, yes, we're more confident speaking now, but at the same time, it could be dropping. Like, it could be like plateauing because there's a lot more pressure because we did like amp up the set and like everything's being stepped up and we have these like big guests coming on and it's very like we feel a little bit under pressure because they are doing so well, which we're super grateful for. But that's just us like wanting to like meet those expectations.
Yeah,
so every week we're like, we need something to talk about. Meanwhile, the people listening are like, just sit and talk about whatever. Like, who cares? But we're very
which we
like,
we try to do that. But
right.
like sometimes
we're very in our heads. Yes, we're more confident like speaking wise and interview and stuff like that. We still have a long way to go, I think, mm-hmm. but
I've obviously not been around that long. So from episode 38 to now, it's like you guys even said it too. You said it to me initially. You were like, it's going to take probably like 10 or so podcasts to get like kind of comfortable because mm-hmm. that's kind of like how long you said it took for you, which I agree with. But it was just, it's funny because I had basically that little 10 episode window and then we were having these big guests. Right. So it was interesting because it's like I just kind of started getting like a little bit of my footing and then we have to throw guests in the mix. So I was like nervous just about that. But now that I've experienced it, like those were two of the episodes that were like the most fun to film. And it's just, and it's actually cool. And it helps like to your point about not having a lot to talk about, like it helps when there's another person that you can learn about and you can actually take a genuine interest in them. And it just keeps the conversation like flowing very freely. That's what, like I would just say, because I feel like I like wasn't confident in the beginning, kind of got there, was less confident about guests, but now I'm getting more confident with that. So I think it's just like growing pains. I feel like it's a natural progression.
And
of
you feel
things.
Like it's harder with the episodes we have guests, but it's actually easier because it's like it a is. Whole brand new canvas that you get to mm-hmm. just pick at instead of knowing more about each other when we know each other so well.
We've definitely grown so much. Like I feel like we've gotten so much better. Yeah. But right before each podcast, we remind ourselves every day, like, let's not talk over each other. Remember, like, breathe before you speak, Zane. Yeah. Like, take a breath before you say your sentence. Like, we do have to do those things that I cut out. It's just like, it's very nerve-wracking. We're trying to sound as not intelligent. There's like a word I'm looking for. Like
it's I think what it is in the beginning we were just like excited and we felt like we need to constantly be talking and have this
energy,
insane energy to make it seem fun, and just constantly just all be talking at the same time. But yes, it's good to have that energy, but at the same time, it's a little overwhelming to be constantly talking. So now I feel like we're kind of finding our comfort in being like, okay, yeah, that's a really good point, and I'm going to add on to this. What did you think about that?
Yeah.
And it becomes more of a natural, free-flowing conversation.
Do you remember in the beginning when we would, if there was any breath or pause for like 5 seconds, we would freak out. Yes. We would. There were times where we started all over because the momentum was slowed down. Now we do bathroom breaks. We chill out for a second. Yeah. Like we're okay with it. We could jump right into it.
Yeah. It even got to the point where we just redo the whole episode because we think that those moments.
Yes.
Killed the whole
episode. Our mood would switch. We'd be like, okay, is this not good enough? Like, are we boring right now? What? Just start all over. Like,
yeah. Zane would have to re-put his seat cooler in the fridge.
Yeah. Oh, you had a seat. I had a sea cooler
because I would get so hot because I was so nervous for like every episode.
A booty ice pack.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Because it was like I went from like filming YouTube videos, it was just me, like just the camera, to like all these lights and everything. And I'm really bad at like being on set.
Yeah.
So I felt like I was on set even though it was just our video at the end of the day. But like it just made me feel like I couldn't.
I think it also is training all of us. I noticed like outside of the podcast we're a little better with telling stories, if that makes sense, or like speaking in general to people. I feel like we're enunciating a little bit better. I've just noticed it in everybody. Like, I feel like before this, we would tell stories and it would jump all over the place, but we would know what we're trying to say.
Yeah.
On the podcast, we have to be very cautious of that. We have to be like, okay, these people have no idea what's going on. We have to break it down for them. And I feel like we're carrying that over into like everyday conversations, which is good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it's important too, just to know that like, because I feel like sometimes it's a hindrance to progress when you nitpick about every little thing and just realizing that, like, at the end of the day, every kind of like what James said last episode, he posts twice a week. Every single episode can't be like a banger, hit it out of the park, home run. Like,
right. You would drive yourself crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then into the point of like, you just won't, it'll like bring you to a complete stop. Like, you won't want to produce anything because it's not living up to this expectation. Yeah, Zane, I know. I was trying not to. Yeah,
that's literally
exactly.
The definition of my.
Exactly.
Oh, my problem.
But, like, think about that, though. Like, imagine, like, the way you put that, like, a banger home run. Imagine a baseball player that every time he went up to bat.
It would be so boring.
If he didn't get a home run, he would fucking beat himself up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It just doesn't happen.
It sounds,
but imagine players hitting a home run every single time. Nobody would want to watch.
It's just not true. Fun.
Well, yeah. And then it's expected. Then it's like, you know what
and
I mean?
And then if you don't.
Oh my God.
It spices
because
it up.
What do you do when someone goes up? It gets to the point where, oh, you know what? I can go grab a drink from the bar real quick because I know he's going to get a home run.
Yeah.
It becomes boring when it's actually exciting.
Right. Nobody wants to watch. Yeah.
I was trying to justify making bad videos.
So it's going to be boring sometimes.
And that's what.
I think it's important, though, too, just because since we are doing guests now, like, I'll be totally honest. Like, I was probably the most nervous maybe for a podcast during the Stas one, just because I didn't know what the structure of those episodes looked like.
Yeah.
And then when the structure kind of went out the window for that episode, I panicked because it's my job to bring the structure. Right. But going from that episode and seeing how great that episode was, and it doesn't mean that I didn't have a great time filming it. Like, she's the coolest girl ever. But like, going from that to the James episode where it was much more structured, I think it was so cool to see that, just because it tells us like every episode's not going to be the same. That's guest, non-guest, they're not going
to
be the same.
Everybody's different. Right. We're trying to adapt to the guests,
right?
And like what makes them most comfortable.
Yeah. And I think that's what we did well is that we didn't like hype up guests in any sort of way that made people expect anything. So whatever they get, it's just kind of a different view of that person.
It's just real of them being in the room.
Yeah. Like, we didn't say it was going to be interview style. We didn't say it was going to be messy or whatever. Like,
we
it's going to be
let
different.
It flow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's structured, but it flows.
Yeah.
And it works out perfectly. Yeah.
Everything's fun.
Exciting. All right. Let's hit another one real quick.
All right.
The bottom of your shoe looks like, you know, those ASMR videos where you cut the soap and then it goes.
Oh, I thought that. I thought that before.
Looks just like it. I just want to slice it.
Hi, I'm Alexa. And I'm Nicole. And we're sisters from Pasadena, California. We're huge fans of you guys and have been for a few years now. So our question is for both of you. What are your thoughts on social media personalities kind of like being looked down upon in the entertainment industry? And how have you guys seen that stigma sort of change through throughout these past few years since you started on Vine and now going on to YouTube, because, like, you know, you've just seen so many YouTubers. Now they're entering different platforms, even television and movies. So what are your thoughts on all of that? We love you guys.
Yeah, thank you. Bye.
Bye. Hi, Alexa.
Thanks,
Nicole.
Girlies.
Well thank spoken. You for the question. Let's have them take my seat. I love Pasadena.
It's a good question. I still feel like, even still today, social media people are not taken seriously at all. You could tell that some celebrities, even when they do work with traditional, or when traditional people are working with social media people, you could tell what the video they're filming, or even like podcasts or interviews, there's a hint of them not taking them seriously.
The tension.
There's like a little bit of tension still.
Yeah, I feel like they just see it as like a, not an easy route or road to success, but I feel like a lot of mainstream celebrities feel like we got our success really fast and undeservedly.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of like,
yeah, because they have no idea. Like, obviously, like, we know how they got to where they got to. We watched all their movies, all their shows, all just everything they've done, and they know that. So when we get excited and we collaborate with them on something, when they that favor isn't returned, because they're just like, oh, I don't know what they've done. All I know is that their social media, they've probably got their fame out of nowhere,
right?
And we're just gonna be here because they have a following and that's gonna bring me numbers. I think that's just how like most of them like,
yeah,
it was basically people. Like just like, because it does look easy.
Yeah,
like YouTube looks so easy from an outside perspective. Cool. It's oh, what? Like, and everybody thinks like our job isn't even real. Like, yeah. Oh, what do you? Oh, you film your life. Cool. Must be so hard. There's a lot of shit that goes into what we do.
And people forget that, like, when you watch actors on shows or movies, those actors aren't there filming and editing and producing and directing. That's right. But YouTubers do have to do all that most of the time. Sometimes they have editors and sometimes they have people writing their shit, but most YouTubers have to do everything themselves, and people will tend to forget that.
Yeah.
And they think it's easy just because they see it filmed in their house, or they
it just feels so attainable.
Exactly.
A typical job would be a 9-to-5. You can visually see that work. You can see me showing up on time, putting in the hours, clocking out. And then you go home and your work is shut off for the rest of the night.
Living paycheck
TV,
to paycheck. Yeah.
Do whatever you want. But with social media, like doing what we do, our brain doesn't shut off and we're constantly thinking about ideas. What can we talk about? What is the next video? What is the next podcast topic? Our brains are always going. And to me, that is more work and more strenuous. And I'm not going to say like everybody can feel differently about it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you told me like, you can do what you do, make this much money, whatever it is, but you do a 9-to-5 and you work construction, I would take that all day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was telling Heath the other day, I'm like, dude, I wish, imagine what, like we like financially, we get what we get now and we work a 9-to-5 job. I would take that in a fucking heartbeat because it's so less stressful to go into somewhere and knowing exactly what you have to do every day. Like when I worked at the airport and hotels, it was the easiest job in the world because I knew exactly what to do.
And you're making money.
No day was going to be different because I was doing the exact same thing every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I was
going home. And
yeah.
It's comfortable to know exactly what your day is going to be and what you're going to do. Yes, we have the freedom and like it looks amazing. Like, wow, these guys can, tomorrow we could go on vacation or whatever we wanted to do. But like depending on what we have to get done the next day.
Yeah.
But for the most part, we have a pretty open schedule.
Yeah.
But even booking like a vacation or a trip or doing some sort of activity, the first thing that comes to our minds is like, what are we filming while we're doing it?
I was just gonna say,
it's not like a vacation. Right. It's like, what are we going to post? We have to put out content.
It's it's like you can look at it. There's two sides to every coin. It's like you could look at it as, yay, freedom, of course, very desirable. But you can also look at it as uncertainty. Like you don't know what the next thing is going to be or whatever. You're the captain of the ship. Like, my last job was retail and I didn't like the world. Like I didn't like what I was doing per se. Like I didn't think it had a lot of value. I find more value in this. It's like bringing people joy, you know, accompanying people on their day-to-day thing, whatever. But it's true what you're saying. It's like I went from having a very structured job to now having a job that is not structured. And it's just this constant state of like wondering if, am I on top of everything? Am I forgetting something? That just can pop up like out of nowhere.
Yeah. And you have to always be available.
Yeah.
And to go with the question, she was saying that social media people aren't like taken seriously. And it's really sad because these social media people, most of them weren't even born here, and they went to like they went to the acting route and all that. A lot of people, we had all normal jobs for years. We worked our asses off in our normal jobs, and
you went to school, you had a job.
And when we started doing social media, we didn't even know it was like it could lead to a job, and we were working so hard at it for free, getting nothing in return. And it is really sad that like traditional media like just does not see that. And but like I'm talking about back then, I feel like when we were like doing social media. Now I feel like it is like it is you wake up and you are you are the biggest internet creator in the world. So it's definitely different now. It's very accessible these days, but back then it was not at all. You had to work really hard to where you got to.
Like an overnight sensation on social media could be like a model being discovered at the mall or something. Yeah. If someone's like, oh my gosh, you're gorgeous, do Alex this shoot for me. You start, like a Victoria's Secret model. They started, they got discovered, they got looked at, you're beautiful, be a model. They worked their way up and now they're a Victoria's Secret model. Now everyone's like, wow, that's so sick. That's amazing. You're working with like huge brands, blah, blah, blah. It's the same thing, but different. You know what I mean?
Pam Anderson at the baseball game, she got put on the Jumbotron.
Hold on, that's how she got discovered.
Sorry, it was a BC Lions football game. She was wearing a cutoff beer T-shirt.
Really? Everybody's paths are different. Like she's meant to be doing what she's doing.
Brad Pitt was at like a restaurant out here or something. Like I want to say Taco Bell, but like whatever it was. And got discovered like that.
He was working at Pollo Loco.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
And he got discovered there. An agent or somebody went there and saw him working behind the counter and was like, can you come in come into the office? We want to, like.
Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy.
Courtney Cox got discovered at a Bruce Springsteen concert. She got pulled on stage as a fan. You know how usually they'll bring somebody up. She was that person and got discovered. Somebody looked at her and was like, we want her.
Yeah, people. I feel like a lot of
that's why people all the time go on stage for concerts because they.
I feel like a lot of traditional people get discovered as just a normal person, not even in the entertainment career. It's just like straight looks, and they're like, "You have the look. We're gonna put you through training to become an actor or an actress."
It's kind of like TikTok, but they don't. They don't gotta wait. They could just post.
It's cool. Just the new wave. Like I understand where they're coming from, why they're confused, and why they would be frustrated, but. At the end of the day, like with any job, you start from the bottom.
Yeah.
Right. And you work your way up and that's it.
And also at the end of the day, if people don't respect you for what career you have, fuck them. Like,
yeah.
Because if they were in your shoes, they would take this in a heartbeat.
What are mainstream people thinking about us? Like, honestly, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Like if they don't think we work, great. Like as long as you know your worth, your value, your work ethic, like what you're putting into what you're doing. That's all that matters, and people will recognize that.
Yeah.
And if they don't, then so be it.
I agree.
And that's it. And that's the answer to that question,
and
Alexa.
That's the way the cookie crumbles.
All right, guys. Again, we love you so much. We post the audio every single Monday, and the video comes out Tuesday on Zane and Heath Unfiltered. Oh, why did I say that?
You said that right, on Zane and Heath Unfiltered?
No,
YouTube.com.
Oh, YouTube.com/Zane and Heath. And also, we have merch out at ZaneandHeathUnfiltered.com.
I was excited about the merch. So guys, make sure to check that out, and we will see you guys in a couple days.
We love you.
Bye.
Peace out.
Burn, 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 burn.
Ooh. Burn, burn, burn.